Good Saturday morning to you, everybody, and welcome to Flashpoint Healthcare Solutions Radio Show, along with Steve Glick, Chief Administrative Officer for CI Trust, Connecticut Chamber Insurance Trust. I'm Gary Byron. Well, Steve Glick, how are
you? Good morning, Gary.
We're on fire this morning already.
Absolutely.
All that coffee and cookies and bagels and all these treats. How has your week been?
Too much spirit.
You got a party to go to tonight, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Too much spirit, literally.
Can you ever have too much spirit?
No. I think everyone needs the right spirit.
You get it. Well, this is the time of year in which we're supposed to have the spirit of the season, right?
Absolutely.
This is the we had the Thanksgiving, right? That was a season of thanks and what you're thankful for. We're now in the season of giving. We give gifts. We've had Hanukkah. We're going to have Christmas. We will have Three Kings Day, right? We will have Kwanzaa. We'll have Boxing Day.
Yeah.
And then there's a Festivus for the rest of us.
You got it.
All right. We want to include everybody. So if I forgot your holiday, there's just so many of them. I can't, send your complaints to Ryan Roberts. That's Ryan.Rob. I'm sorry. Producer extraordinaire. Listen, our guest this morning is no stranger to this show. I think it's probably between him and Steve Riggs, maybe, who have been on the show the most. Although I think our guest today may have one up on. Our guests at PBIRX.
PBIRX. Right?
They are probably
our drug pushers are the biggest.
They were here. It was the last week or a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
They were. They probably in the lead. But this our guest this morning is probably in second place for most appearances on this show. And once you listen to him for about a minute or two, there'll be no question as far as why. Some of his credentials and points of interest: CEO, president of Rock Garden Conspiracy, manager, composer, conductor, arranger, producer, multi-instrumentalist, track engineer, mix engineer, mastering engineer. Max DiCarlo, Max composed this very show that you're listening to. He composed the music, the intro and the outro music to this show. He manages Second Sight, an LA classic rock band comprised of current semi-retired major moguls in film and TV industry. He also is a movie location scout, manager, locations manager, production placement specialist, associate producer. Listen, if I keep going with this guy's credentials, the show would be over. Let's just bring him in. We all know him as just Ed Cohen. Ed, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing, Jer?
I'm out of breath now, thanks to you. Holy smokes. But it's nice to see you again. We bring you in every couple of months. It's always nice to see you.
I always love being here.
We love having you. Tell us what you've been up to since the last time that we saw you.
Well, I was trying to get Max DiCarlo the score for a movie.
Sure. Yeah.
And got very friendly with the producer, Michael Rothstein of Yale Productions. And
Yale Productions, by the way, we were talking off air. They're a Long Island based, right? They're a New York based production company. It has nothing to do with Yale University. It's actually the guy's last name, right?
Right. It's Jordan Yale Levine.
Yeah.
Is the primary partner.
Oh, his middle name.
That started it, okay. Right. And incredible organization. They've done over 20 movies in COVID without a single case of COVID.
Nice.
That'd
be proud of.
With people like, John Malkovich, and actually did one with, what's his name?
Don Johnson?
Don Johnson, that was one of them. The fellow that just had the problem.
Alec Baldwin,
yeah. And they've done two with Katie Holmes. They're just,
I bet there's no movies on the horizon with them, with Alec Baldwin, I think, right?
That was 2 years ago that they did that.
All right. But what are they working on now?
We just wrapped on two films in the last few months. That was Banshee, and that starred Antonio Banderas.
Okay.
And that was an action thriller.
I would imagine when I hear Antonio Banderas, I think of actions. Yeah.
Right. And then right after that, it kind of overlapped. We did High Heat with Olga Kurylenko, who was the Bond girl in Quantum of Solace.
I missed that one.
Don Johnson.
Well, Miami Vice.
Oh.
And Nash Bridges, too, right? Yep. Which I think is also coming back with Cheech Marin. Yep. How long have you been in the music industry? Because I know people who know you. Papo Collazo from in Berlin.
He was one of my in-laws, quasi-in-laws.
What was that?
He was one of my earliest managees in the band Surprise.
Surprise, yeah, right.
And wonderful guy. Absolutely incredible guitarist. The Chambers brothers tried to steal him when we played with him down in New Jersey on New Year's. And it was a riot. He said, no, I'm staying with my band.
Yeah, they could have made it big, too.
Oh, that was really close.
I mean, they were big here, make no mistake about it, but they could have made it. They could have broke nationwide. Now his son is in Nashville.
I know. I've heard
Jamie.
Some of his stuff is really
plays
really
with Sean Stemley.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Now all those guys in the band are really terrific.
So you guys are some of the folks. Who are some of the folks that you've worked with over the years?
Well, people that they know, I used to book a guy by the name of Michael Bolotin, who became Michael Bolton.
Yeah.
And
I've interviewed him.
Yeah, good guy. And we also worked with a band that Bill Miller managed. We just booked them. But three guys in that band went on to greater things.
In what band?
It was called, The New Breed. They changed their name a couple of times. But anyway, it was Craig McGregor. He was the bass player. He became bass player for Foghat.
Oh.
The drummer, Bobby Torello, became the drummer for Johnny Winter. And Smokin' Joe Kelly, the guitar player, became the lead guitar player for Ike and Tina Turner. All from one local band. That never happens.
And they went on to bigger and better things from that band. Yeah, look at that.
Absolutely. And let's see, who else did we work with? Freddie Paris, the Five Satins. Still good friends with Fred. Just got him interviewed with the NAMM Video Library.
You must have some incredible stories and memorable moments. Care to share one or two?
Sure. At one point, I ended up as business partners with Rick Wakeman on the Byrotron.
Yes, I know that story. Yep. But for people, that was... You shared that story the very first time that we had you on. It's probably a year ago. We picked up a lot of listeners since then, Steve. So I'm thinking that maybe, Ed, you can just, because I want to hear another story as well. So just give us a quick version of that.
Well, I was managing this fellow, Dave Biro, out of Wallingford, and he was a keyboard player. And he had gone to see Rick Wakeman when he was playing with Yes at the Palace in Waterbury. And fell in love with the sound, said, I've got to have that sound. Mm. And Dave was like not well-to-do at all. I mean, he was living in his father's garage, wearing two different sneakers because he couldn't afford a pair.
Oh, boy.
Heating it with a dryer that he left open. It was hilarious. It was a book in itself. So he turned around, he saved up his money, managed to get down to Sam Ash in New York.
Oh, yeah.
Walked in, he said, I want that slant back synthesizer that Rick Wakeman has. Oh, that's a mini mode. Okay. They sold him a mini mode. And then he wanted a Mellotron, which is a tape sound source keyboard. And it was, it was classic. He went down to listen to one in New London, and it didn't sound like Rick's. He said, I don't like this. I can do better. Goes back, takes an upright piano in his driveway, chops out 3.5 octaves of the keyboard. The rest was all trash all over the driveway. Bought 19 BSR 8-track tape decks. For those of you that remember 8-tracks, this is probably the only good use ever for 8-tracks. Put those in a bookshelf. He put the keyboard in a custom cabinet that he built. And this was all basically scrap wood, so you had to see this thing. It looked essentially like a trash heap. Then he said, okay, how do I get the music onto an 8-track? And he decided to talk to, we were just talking about Surprise, Nick Stargiu. in Surprise, had one of the two Mellotrons in the state, and I managed them. So Dave was good friends with Nick. He said, Nick, can I borrow your Mellotron for a week? I said, sure. So he loans it to him, and Dave recorded all of the sounds. And Mellotron only had 8 seconds worth of sound on a strip tape, which you dragged across a head by mechanically depressing key that pushed the tape against the capstan and pulled it over the playhead. And then you selected three different tracks, mm-hmm. so it could be mixed strings.
So, but how did you end up meeting Rick Wakeman as a result of this?
Or? Yeah, we ended up bringing it down to the New Haven Coliseum when Rick played there with the Journey to the Center of the Earth tour in 1973, October. And Jimmy Koplik was kind enough to agree to get us a letter back to Rick. And so we went down there, we're talking to him, the roadie brings the letter back, comes back. You the guys gave us the letter? Yeah. Well, Rick wants to talk to you. You can stay till after the show? Sure. So now Jimmy Koplik is like, what is going on? What's this about? You know, told him, where's the instrument? Well, it was up in Dave's Pinto hatchback, hanging out the back, like a 300-pound instrument that was bad.
Today it would have been lifted.
Right, absolutely. And so we ran up the down escalator of the New Haven Coliseum to get up to the car, to drive it down. We bring it to the side stage entrance, bring it down there. There's only two furniture handles, no wheels, 300 pounds. I said, where do you want it, Jimmy? I said, put it right next to the stairs at the stage. So we're put it over there, and Rick was traveling with the New York Symphony. People are walking by, what is that? Because it looked like a pile of junk. I wanted to say, that's your replacement, but I didn't want to be rude. So
good.
So we're there. They come to the end of the show, and the roadie comes up. He says, you the guys that we talked to about the letter? Yeah. He says, stay right here. Rick wants to talk to you.
Okay, good.
Rick comes out. He says, which one of you guys wrote the letter? They said, I did. Okay. This is amazing. I love this concept. He said, people come to me with ideas all the time. He said, this really sounds great. If you ever build one of these, I want to try it. He said, well, I have built it. He said, where is it? Next to the stage. What? Well, bring me my amp. Bring me the instrument. So next, we're pushing this 300-pound monster backstage. They bring Rick a Fender Champ amp,
wow,
which is tiny. And I'm looking like, oh, my God, you got to be kidding. And he starts playing this thing. Well, this had microswitches under the keys, so you were gating the sound. It was endless sound. So you have human voices singing, forever, without any breaks in the sound. And we actually end up with a patent on the recording process to make that sound. So, you know, next thing you know, he's playing it and he's going crazy, and he starts like realizing he can play as fast as he wants and he can do anything on this. Puts his cigar down and launches into a full concert of Six Wives on this. Everybody in the crew, and it was a huge crew, stopped what they were doing. We had this massive crowd around us watching this concert on something that looked like a piece of junk. They recognized it was kind of...
What ended up happening with that, though?
It is now...
Did he take it with him? Did he buy it off of you guys?
No, he called us over and he said, look, he said, I was looking for an endorsement so we could raise the money to build it. He said, I have a factory in England and we're making flight cases, but I have a lot of extra capacity. Would you guys be interested in a partnership? I'm like, are you kidding me? So next thing I know, I'm in a hotel suite with Brian Lane negotiating a deal, and Brian is trying to really screw Rick out of money. And I just, you know, I'm out of here. I'm not doing this. So I called his personal manager, and I told him that I said, I can't deal with Brian. Mm. We're not going to let him, Rick, get screwed.
Yeah.
So I figured that was that. Next thing I know, I get a call when I was at a job interview about a month later from my ex-wife. And she says, what are you doing this weekend? I said, I'm in a job interview. She says, I know. What are you doing this weekend? I said, nothing. She says, wrong. I just got a call from Rick's personal manager. He purchased two tickets, one for you, one for Dave, on a 747 on Sunday morning. You're flying out to England, and he's going to meet you at the airport. They don't know when you're coming back. So I spent a month there. Dave spent 6 months there.
Ooh. And this is the short version of this story.
This actually
we're
is
just
the
about
short
out of time here, folks. I wish we could. I've got to ask you questions about your client, Max DiCarlo.
Yep.
How did you guys come to meet? And how did he get to where he is now? Because he's making a name for himself.
We met on LinkedIn.
Oh, okay.
And he put up one of his pieces, and I saw it and listened to it. And I was like, wow. You know, so I commented, and he commented back. And the next day, he put up another piece. I said, okay, you need to give me a call. He called me. We started talking. 2 days later, I was managing him. He was, at that time, 67, and he had never had a manager, never had an agent, never found anybody he liked or trusted. And we just hit it off. So I've been working with him now for a little over a year. And he started out that this is a guy who was born and raised in Rome, went to Santa Cecilia Conservatory of Music. It was founded in 1585. And that was when I was just a kid.
What genres of music does Max compose and record?
Basically, just about every genre.
Yeah.
We are working right now with a rock star by the name of Robin McCauley. He was the lead singer for Survivor and for the McCauley-Shanker
group. McCauley-Shanker group. I didn't know he was with Shanker. When was he with Survivor?
I don't remember the years, but he was the lead singer. And he was also one of the lead stars in Raiding the Rock Vault in Las Vegas for 7 years. Right now it's dark after COVID. But
I'm familiar with Robin McCauley's work with McCauley-Shanker. Yeah. I have a lot of McCauley-Shanker music. But I know Jimmy Jameson from Survivor, who passed away.
Right.
David Bickler, who was the original lead singer who sang Eye of the Tiger with Survivor.
Right.
That's why I didn't know that Robin McCauley ever did. How many compositions has Max created to date? Do you know this offhand?
We just passed the 10,000 mark.
Oh, my goodness.
He composes 10 hours a day, whether he's on a gig or not.
You know, when you think of scoring music, you want to go back to the origins of filmmaking. You know, you go back to the days of you know, directors and Cukor and Capra and
yep.
And you think of Elmer Bernstein, you know, and really became known as the composer of that era, you know, the Depression era of the 30s into the 40s and even into the 50s. And then it was a dry period and until John Williams came on the scene. And he did the scores, of course, for Star Wars and Superman and Raiders of the Lost Arks and you know, oh, yes. Where, think about it, these are not hit singles. This is not the top 40 song from a movie, you know.
Right.
It's not like Eye of the Tiger from Rocky III. You know, this is the underlining music underneath the dialogue and the action that's going on visually on the screen.
It creates the tempo of the scene.
Absolutely.
And it creates the emotion.
But you don't think of those songs as really being memorable. But with John Williams... They are. And, of course, John Williams has a son who is the lead singer of Toto. So it's keeping it all in the family. And then now you've got Max DiCarlo, and he's really kind of he's picking up here. He's gaining momentum and popularity here.
Well, it's unbelievable. Right now we're working on negotiating a deal that was an unsolicited deal from one of the largest film studios in the world. So we're waiting to see how that negotiation turns out.
Wow. has he done anything with on the rock scene or anything? Or
yeah, right now he's doing stuff with. Well, he's done a number of things. He produced a bunch of Latin artists.
Oh,
and they all went multi-platinum. Ricky Martin and Shakira, etc. He sold over 130 million albums on that.
Incredible. Folks, you are listening to Flashpoint Healthcare Solutions Radio Show along with Steve Glick, Chief Administrative Officer with Chamber Insurance Trust. I'm Gary Byron. Our guest today is no stranger to the show, Ed Cohen. Ed, how did you end up working in the film industry?
That was just getting, working on getting Max the score for a movie. I had met, Michael Rothstein from Yale Productions on LinkedIn as well.
Okay.
And we ended up like, brothers for another mother. And so it was just a matter of, while I was trying to get the music in there, and Michael loves Max's music, he said, "Hey, you want to work on a movie?" Hell yeah.
That easy, huh?
That easy. That was how it happened.
What brought you to locating a film in Simsbury? And then I think you said earlier in Middletown as well, right? So
yeah,
how did that all come about?
Simsbury, I had been talking to through the chamber, actually right. through Steve. Mm-hmm. And
you're still with the Simsbury Chamber of Commerce, right?
Right. Yeah, I've been working a lot with them, and I fell in love with the area. It's just, it's gorgeous. And when Michael said that they were going to shoot either in Hartford, New Haven, or New London, I said, "Well, do you want to shoot a movie or do you want to be shot?" He said, "Well, what are you getting at?" I said, "I've got a better place for you to shoot." And so I recommended Simsbury, and it ended up being a terrific marriage. Simsbury and Granby, they still had to shoot some stuff in Hartford because there was a high rise. You're not going to find that in either place, but. It was a terrific experience.
Do you only do location scouting in Connecticut, or?
Well, so far the two movies have been in Connecticut. I'm willing to go anywhere. I've got the bug now. They tell me they've got something in Texas. I'm going.
And they pay for all of it, right?
Yeah.
And do you have anything on the horizon in Connecticut that?
Yeah, there was one thing that just got moved to New Jersey, but there's another thing that just came up this week. So. Mm.
You and I got to talk off air then.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Who are the movies that you did in Simsbury in Middletown? Can you say the names of the movies and who were the stars?
Yeah, now I can because it's already been published in Variety. So.
All right.
It was Banshee. That was the one that was in Simsbury.
And who stars in that one?
That is Antonia Banderas.
Oh, that's right. Antonia Banderas.
Yeah. And then the other one is called High Heat, and that was shot in Middletown. And that was starring Olga Kurylenko, who was the Bond girl in Quantum of Solace.
Okay.
And Don Johnson.
Oh, of course. Miami Vice.
Exactly.
Nash Bridges.
Yep. So, both of those are in post-production currently. And we actually got the score for Max on High Heat.
Wow, nice.
Which is great.
Boy, you help bringing everybody together here.
Well, that was my goal. That was how I ended up in the movie. So.
That's what makes Steve Glick as popular as he is. What's the next big project for Max DiCarlo?
Well, right now he's working on, one film in Italy, one film in England, two films in the U.S., and he's got 6 one-hour episodes of a TV episodic that he's doing, and plus we're negotiating that deal with the major studio. If that comes through, he'll probably be a household name by the end of next year.
That's nice.
Maybe a year later, but...
What's your next project?
God knows.
or film project, more specifically.
Oh, well, I'm working with a fellow who has been working with Tom Hanks since,
Tom has his own production.
Philadelphia. Yeah, he does. But in this particular case, Tom has his own projects that he does. But this fella has a script that he just wrote. So we're looking at, where we're going to go with that. I just finished doing some proofreading on the script. That was a lot of fun.
Sounds like an exciting life. Let's bring Steve Glick back in here. Friends in high places, my friend.
I know this gentleman for many, many years.
I know
years.
You have. Back in the early 70s when he was selling insurance.
Yes, and we also played in the same high school band together.
Junior high school band.
Junior high school and high school band.
Wow. If you want more information, you go to maxdicarlo.com. Again, www.maxdicarlo.com. Every time that we bring Barry in here, you know, Ed in here, it's just incredible because you're a tremendous talent. You are so diversified. You've got your experience in insurance within the chamber. You yourself have been, as you mentioned a moment ago, a manager for musicians. And now you're in breaking into movies and scout locating and look. It's just it's incredible how diverse you are.
Well, I used to play in a band too, Gravy Train, but I did the world a favor and stopped playing.
You know, listen, we all have our purpose in life, my friends. That's quite a testament to your skill.
Yeah, Steve can attest to how bad I am on the sax.
Is there, and I'm running out of time, is there anything you haven't done yet that you're like, ooh, I got to check off one more box that I've got
to... To be honest, no, everybody said this, you know, this movie thing is, you know, the dream of a lifetime. I said, no, in my wildest dreams, I could not have envisioned this on any horizon. It just happened.
Sometimes it's all with who you know. Got to be at the right place at the right time.
There are no coincidences in life.
You know, I've heard that. I've even said that. I've actually said that quote a number of times. I don't believe in coincidences. Everything is meant to happen the way predestined, right?
We're actually embarking now. I almost forgot. Max has a musical, and so we're embarking on that as we speak.
If you'd like to get a hold of Steve Glick, very easy to do. Check out his website at www.citrust.com. Once again, the Chamber Insurance Trust website is citrust.com. Steve Glick has got a toll-free number. If you'd like to make an appointment with him, or your chamber should, if you know your executive director and you want to point them in the right direction when it comes to health care, it's easy to do. 800-953-4467. Again, toll free. I'll slow it down. Write this number down. 800-953-4467. For Steve Glick, Chief Administrative Officer for Chamber Insurance Trust, I'm Gary Byron. Thank you so much for listening to Flashpoint Healthcare Solutions Radio Show. Until next Saturday, have a good one, everybody. So long.